I'm going to have, if you guys would welcome with me, we've got our panel that's going to come on up. Come on up, gals. They're like, now? Is it now? You guys were so great about sending in your questions, and we love to hear the things that you're kind of scratching your head about and that the Lord's put on your heart. And, you know, the Word tells us that we should seek godly counsel, and these are some gals that that I love to hear some godly counsel from, along with many of our Titus 2 team here at Athey and our biblical counseling team. They're so great. Now, I'm going to have them introduce themselves in just a second, but I want to give you guys a quick caveat. If there's a question that you sent in that we didn't cover, please don't take it personal. We might not have gotten to it in time. Also, sometimes there's questions that the Lord's given that to you because you need to probably give us a call and meet with the biblical counseling team. There's some questions that we wouldn't necessarily totally address up here just because that could be something that really would be great spent with time with one of the team that is in our women's counseling team. So anyway, if there's any of those questions, and even if you didn't send that question, something comes up today and it kind of spurs that thinking, just know that is always available to you, and we hope that you'll take the church up on that. So, okay, ladies, I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you. Kim's like, you're looking at me. Does that mean I have to go first? So Kim, you start us off.
Well, I'm Kim. She made it easy. My braggable part is I used to work with Pastor Brett, and my mom is Judy Slaughter.
When she introduced herself, when she was, we had our call to sync up about this, she said, well, John Slaughter's my, you know, Pastor John. And I was like, you know, in women's ministry, you're probably going to have to, our hero over here is, yeah. So we like John too.
You can all raise your hand if you like John.
See, there's a few. All right, Rita, go ahead.
So I'm Rita DeBanco, and I'm married to Mike, and I have 3 kids, 6 amazing grandkids, and I'm honored to be here. Honored.
I should back up real quick. Kim, did you say who you're married to, if you're married, all that fun stuff?
I am married. I'm married to Steve.
Okay.
And we have 3 little grandchildren, so it's a
so
blast.
Fun. All right. Go ahead, Jana.
I'm Jana Cochran. I am married to Greg. We've been married for 27 years, and I have a 16 and a 19-year-old boy and girl. And we've been at Athey for about 5 years since 2019, so I'm so thankful to be here.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Hi, I'm Sharon Fox, married to John. We have 2 daughters and a son-in-law. Our oldest daughter's 28 and still lives at home, which is a blessing most of the time. She's not here, so I can say that. No. And then we have a daughter and son-in-law who live in Salem, just moved up from Medford. And
yeah,
that's it. Been going to Athey for 14, 15 years or so.
Nice. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to jump right into the questions. And I'm going to start with, we got some questions on, we tried to divide them up into categories a little bit for you. So our first one was marriage and singleness. We'll kind of go with that one first. And one of our sweet gals said, I thought I would be married by now. How can I focus on contentment in my singleness? And I'll also tag team others' questions related to this, where even if maybe you have a friend who is single and how you can encourage them. So Kim, you want to start us off with that one?
Sure. For one, if you take notes, these are 3 verses that I think would be great to just memorize. So Philippians 4, 11 through 13, Matthew 6, 33 through 34, and Galatians 6, 4. That being said, I was 32 when I got married. That's just the middle. I have lots of friends who are single, who are 40, 50. That's, to me, is okay. It's just a number. It's God's plan. I think in singleness, singleness is just one topic of life. All should focus, work on, practice contentment in the circumstances of our daily lives. Singleness is just the subject. You could say, I have this crazy job. Okay, well, still focus on contentment. And so from that perspective, I'll leave that for that one.
When we talked about this before, I kind of liked your picture of the meal. You said, you were like, well, there's dinner and then there's the salad and there's the dessert, meaning there's all these facets to life. And we can give that one a lot of focus. Not that it's not important, it is, but it's a piece of your life. I thought that was interesting.
It is just one piece. Mm-hmm. And it might be for you early in life and your husband passes away and you're single later in life. Mm-hmm. You might be, you know, married for 60 years and you can't even remember being single. It's just different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I like to the encouragement of just amazing women that were never married and how the Lord used them. We were talking about Corrie Ten Boom.
Yeah.
And she was not married. Did she want to be married?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, it's interesting. That was not something that the Lord had for her. And yet, wow, she was used in an amazing way.
Correct.
Yeah. Anybody want to add anything on that?
Well, there was a podcast on singleness, right?
There was.
Brooke Metter.
Brooke did that, yeah.
That was really good. I'd highly recommend that for anybody.
Yeah, that was really good. Just general encouragement, even on the contentment thing, you mentioned Matthew. And I think that one is such a good verse for us to think about, too, because, I don't know, like you said, it's any facet of life, the thing that we give it all the focus, and that gets all of our wrapped up anxiety and things like that. Scripture tells us to not do that. So, you guys feel free to chime in. Don't let me talk the whole time, okay? They hear me talk all the time. Okay, let's move into, and still kind of in the lane of singleness, but this was a question on, they said, how would submission look like? Does that look like for a single Christian woman?
Actually, I was backing up because I did hold off.
Oh, you go. Kim, go.
The second part was for the second question.
You get full reign. Just keep going. Okay back up. Don't go to my next question. Kim's got stuff.
So how can I speak to a friend that is single and feeling lonely when it seems the rest of the world has spouses, families, boyfriends, girlfriends? She could possibly be single the rest of her life. If that's God's plan for her, how can I encourage her to be content and at peace with mm-hmm. that? I was holding this answer for that. Just because someone is single doesn't make them unintelligent, immature. In my opinion, being single is quite possibly a higher level. As God is using them on their own, their strength, etc., doesn't need a spouse. Because if they needed a spouse, they would have one. Because God gives us what we need. So I just want to encourage people, maybe it's because I was single in a church where everybody seemed to get married at 19. truly, when I was 23, all my friends had like 3 kids. But when I was 25 and still single, God blessed me with an opportunity of a lifetime. So if you're single, be looking for that. God's probably going to bless you with different things, but be respectful to people who are single. Mm. It's not like they don't have their diploma. invite them to whatever. It shouldn't matter if they're married, single, with or without kids. Mm-hmm. We're believers. This is a church. Invite them for fellowship. Just be a part. Can I say that any clearer? Singleness is like, what color shirt are you wearing? Okay, it's red today. Tomorrow it's blue. Let's go. Let's have fun. Let's fellowship together and encourage each other. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
Oh, we need that in a soundbite, right? And just play that over and over. That was
okay,
so good.
Okay, the only last thing is, who's the greatest in our faith that's single? Anybody? Jesus.
Yeah.
Hello.
I love that. Now, are you okay if I move to the submission one?
You move right on.
That one was way more fun. That was way more fun. But this is a good question on what does submission, because I love the heart of the question. Someone who's like going, man, how I want to be biblical. I want to approach this in a way that is, you know, obedient to the Lord. What should that look like for me as a single? Who's going to take it? Sharon, you want to start us off?
Well, I would say that submission looks the same, really, for everybody. Just you have different people that you're being submissive to. So as a single person, you don't have a husband to submit to. But you still have lots of people to submit to. I was just driving over here, you know, I was going a little bit over the speed limit, so I wasn't really submitting to authority. So we all submit to authority. And I think it's really interesting today because I think there's a very anti-authority culture right now. And the Bible tells us to submit to one another because there are all kinds of authority figures. We have our government that we're supposed to be submissive to. We have our employer that we're supposed to be submissive to. But we're a very self-focused society today. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be focused on Him and what He wants us to be. And so often that's a tough thing to do in every kind of role. So being single, you just have one less authority to submit to. But I do want to say too that I know years ago we had a friend of ours who lived on the East Coast, and he was a pastor, and he thought that women were supposed to be submissive to all men, not just their husbands. And John and I were kind of like, where does it say that? So I just want to say that that's not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So we are, you know, like if you're someone at work tells you go get coffee for him, it's not my job description, I'm sorry. My daughter and I joke about that, or take notes. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that.
Yeah, I'm glad this topic probably comes up in every panel, and it comes up a lot because I think it's because of what you said. We really struggle with authority, and our culturally we struggle with authority. And I think as Christian gals, the best, if we can live out what submission looks like in the context of marriage, it doesn't look like that it's a beat down, that it's some kind of horrible oppressive thing. That's what the world wants to tell you it looks like, but that's not what godly biblical submission looks like within a marriage. That's not what it looks like. And if we could figure out when people ask us that question, just how can you put the biggest smile on your face and redeem and present that as the Lord meant it to be, as a covering and a protection. Even the submission, when we're not talking about marriage and being submitted to authority figures, you know, if Sharon continues to like have her speeding problem, there are things, there's authorities that are in place for our protection, and there's things like that. So you can just recognize that authority is not actually a bad word.
Yeah, and I just want to add one more thing, because we are right now in Acts, where Peter, you know, does not submit to the Sanhedrin. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that's something for us to think about too, especially in this day in which we live, in terms of often we're asked to do something, not often, sometimes, probably more often in the future, we're asked to do something that's completely against God's word. And that's where we have to pray and make a decision about, are we going to submit to God? Because we're going to be responsible to God, you know, when we mm-hmm. go before Him. Hopefully we hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But I think that's something for all of us to think about now and in the future when we are presented with those challenges, whether it be your employer, whether it be government. You know, in some cases, ladies, your husband. Sometimes if there's something directly that you know, he's asking you to do that's against the Lord's word, you need to be prayerful about what to do about that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important for us in this day and age especially.
Yeah, that's good. Anything else? Okay, Janice saying, okay, I'm good. She's nodding a lot. Okay, this is kind of a general question. We put this in like the Christian life section, but I just love this gal, and I think there's a lot of ladies just like this, but she says, I am a newbie in my walk with God, and my kiddos are 8 and 10, and I'm trying to pray in front of them, but I always feel so silly and unsure doing it out loud, and I think it's strange to them. How can I show confidence when I'm trying to understand God in faith? I have a lot of my own questions, and I'm trying to understand. So, Jana, you want to start us off with this one?
Well, the first thing we need to know is that in our own strength, we cannot do this. And so mm-hmm. we need to go to the Word. And in James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So for this mama and all of us, we need to be going to the Word daily. We need to be asking the Lord daily for wisdom in how to disciple our kids. And in a practical sense, when we were chatting, just creating a habit and a routine of being in the Word and praying daily with your kids is probably, it seems so simple, but it's actually the most essential thing you can do. And we joked because there's certain things that you do throughout the day that you would never not do. Like, we all brush our teeth before we leave the house, hopefully. but making this sort of a non-negotiable, like, build a habit of being in the Word with your kids. And it doesn't mean that you have to have all the answers. You will not have all the answers, but prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to help you as you're reading with your children, and he will bless that. And then use scripture as your guide. So if this mom was saying, I feel silly praying out loud. If you don't have the words to pray, we have a whole book of words to pray. And so using the scripture as your guide, if you are, it's a wonderful model, and it's a wonderful way to memorize scripture too. So don't feel silly. Don't let the enemy of your soul make you think that you're doing it wrong, that you're praying wrong, but just make a habit of doing it with your children, and God will bless that so much.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that being a newbie, you probably feels like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. But I think that it's really important to be honest, open and honest before your kids too. And if there's, like, when you're reading, I think something that Amy has said over and over is she and her family have gone through the Proverbs, a proverb of the day. And I know when I was homeschooling my kids, one of the things that we did is we always started our day in the Word, memorizing scripture. And even when you don't understand it, but when you read it over and over, it's because the Word is alive and active, right? You will begin to get it. And as you're reading, kids will ask questions. And it's like, if you don't have the answer, you're like, well, I don't know, but let's go find out together. And the other thing that is with being new in the Word, what's a good idea is if the Lord in your quiet time shows you something, you can share that with your kids and like, hey, you know what the Lord just showed me? And you may, sometimes you may think that it's above their head. It doesn't matter, because if it's the Word, it's the truth. And so one of the things that we were talking about, I homeschooled my kids for 10 years. And one of the things that was so helpful is we memorized a scripture a week. Every week we had a new scripture. And there's a program, it's called Memlock. And it's really cool because there's these little cards, and I actually found it. It's online right now. It's an app, but you show your kids a picture. So I would show them a picture. Oh, that's a basket of fruit. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And this is a really good way to incorporate the Word into their life. And honestly, there's so many scriptures that we did, and this was, I don't know, 30 years ago. I still remember, because it's the Word. So I would just really encourage you, like Jana said, read scripture, and remember that, you know, our kids are little sponges. And so if you're praying, we don't have to pray like Pastor Brett says, these and thous, and no, we're just talking like, Lord, thank you for this day, bless this day. And because if you do that, your kids will follow. Mm-hmm. And they'll see, and that's what we want. We don't want to put on airs or be like some whatever. No, and one of the things, like, you know, in Matthew, that scripture, our Father who art in heaven. I'm Russian, and so we always, like when I was growing up, we would pray before bed, but then we'd always end Otče náš in Russian, you know, our Father which art in heaven. And so to this day, my kids don't speak Russian, but they can pray that in Russian. Because that's something that is, it's a good practice to do. You pray scripture, you can never go wrong.
Mm-hmm. I want to just highlight the, especially when you're new Christian, but I think the enemy does this to all of us, you know, just telling you, don't say that in front of your kids. They're going to think you're dumb. Yeah. That's just ridiculous. Know who's doing that. Because I think we forget how really important our job is as a mom for these kiddos and the things that we're teaching and training. We forget, but the enemy doesn't. I think he is very cognizant of the fact that if I can convince them that they're just kind of dumb for bringing up the Bible today and they don't really know what they're doing, that is not going to be changing that kid, forming their life to lead and change the world for the kingdom someday. So just recognize that that's there, and that's something that we need to have our armor on, I think about. And that habit is just so helpful, because then even on the days when you're not like feeling it, if you have something that you are always going to, oh, well, sure enough, it's, you know, it's the ninth, so we're going to go to Proverbs 9, and what does it say? And there will be something. That's the way that the word goes, and he's so good about that. So I love that. And, you know, we'll know later sometime, maybe, in our kids' lives, how the fruit that that produced. And if you don't worry about that either. You need to be obedient to what the Lord's asked you to do right now with your kiddos. So, okay, let's do a media question. This one was, how do I determine what kind of media I consume when it's not specifically Christian, but it's not explicit or inappropriate? For example, music that isn't Christian but doesn't necessarily have a bad message. Should I only consume Christian-focused media? So, I'll let you guys start with this. You guys know I have lots of thoughts, so. Who's going?
So God made us in his image, and he's a creative God, and I love that he gave us creativity too. And we can use it to reflect the world, or we can use it to reflect him. And I think it's important, regardless of what it is, books, music, YouTube, shorts, whatever. There's all kinds of messaging that comes from those. And, teaching your children and yourself discernment and just listening. When I was young, I didn't used to listen to lyrics, and I'm shocked at some of the things that, what they say, 25 years later. So I think it's important that we really listen and read or whatever and have that filter of truth at what we're taking in. I love Philippians 4:8. Which mm-hmm. I think we have up, mm-hmm. Which is great, that what we need to focus on. I think we need to be careful too with Christian type stuff as well, because Christians, there's a lot of misleading stuff out there with Christian type labeled stuff. And so we need to be equally. I mean, you look at a lot of the hymns, even from, 50 years ago, they're not always, of the Bible. And so anything we need to be careful about. There's some great resources out there if you want for yourself and for your children. About just how to discern, because that's what we want to teach our kids. So we can go and look on Plugged In, which is a Focus on the Family rating system. But if we can teach our kids, things to ask themselves as they're watching or listening. And so there's some great resources. Stand to Reason, Summit Ministries, and Focus on the Family all have tools as parents that we can use to, and for ourselves really, frankly, just to train us about the questions to ask when we're watching a movie or something. And there's some great resources, so I would encourage that for you and your kids.
One of the things to think about is sometimes people say, well, should I do this or should I not? I think right there is the check. It's like the Holy Spirit is prompting you. And so I think that we need to be able to just listen to that as well.
One of the things when we were discussing this, it kind of came up that we live in a really entertainment-rich environment and culture. Entertainment's, it's where a lot of time and effort goes, and it's a big time sucker a lot of the times. And so one of the things that we were chatting about is even not so much the inappropriateness or the appropriateness of it, but the time that you are spending in that. And I just kind of thought of, the old hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And the end of it says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and your grace. And you might find that as you walk closer with the Lord and you dig into his word, that some of those things grow strangely dim. And you just don't have the need for them anymore. And you see that there's other things that you could be using your time that are, it's just better spent. And so even not so much whether this is good or bad, that's a really important question. Philippians 4:8, we need to make sure that the things that we're thinking on are true and righteous and noble, but the amount of time we spend. And I know I've personally been convicted of this, that there's some things that I just look at and go, this is a big time suck, and I would much rather spend my time doing things that have a greater purpose, an eternal value. So.
Mm-hmm. And I do think we need to not forget, like, Scripture's pretty black and white on this one. I mean, and really helpful. I mean, we highlighted, this is the NIV that we put that scripture up there so that you can see the kind of the filter that you run these things through. But this is where we get when Debbie and Mom Time and Pastor Brett talks about the teener plaps. That's where we get this, whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, anything excellent, praiseworthy. That's kind of thinking about, that little acronym. I mean, if it's something you're anxious about, usually that first one's going to stop you in your tracks. Is this even true? is this even true? But then when it's thinking about things that we consume, scripture also tells us to put no worthless thing before our eyes. Wow, that would probably take a lot of things out, you know? I mean, there's a lot of things that just, do they have worth? Even evaluating that. Is this something that is worthwhile for me? Because God's word says, don't have that there. Don't spend your time doing that. So, you know, like you guys said, it's like sometimes that check that's there when you're even asking the question, I'd say if when in doubt, probably not, you know? There's probably something else that would be a better use of that time. So, yeah. Okay, this maybe might go within the single section, but I wanted to stick it here because I think this speaks for lots of things. But how can I serve the Lord in a season of waiting?
Well, it can go a couple of different ways, but when I read this question, it made me think of that scripture in Luke where Jesus said, "Mary, or Martha, Martha, why are you worried? Mary has chosen what is, in some places it says best, some places it says better. I like that, it says best. Because Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And so I think of it like, if you're going through a season of waiting, well, so then what should you be doing? I would say sit at the Lord's feet. Worship the Lord, spend time, dig deeper. So many times we think, well, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? Well, she's doing that. I want to do that. But the Lord sometimes will have you just sit and rest. It makes me think of, I always think of Amy when she was working in with the wedding planning. And then for years, the Lord had her waiting for what was coming next. And it was a period, but see, through those waiting period is a lot of times where you're growing in your faith and the Lord is showing you new and different things in order to prepare you for what's next. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to just sit and I wrote this quote down and I think it was from one of the commentaries. Ministry to the Lord is always our priority over ministry for Him. So we want to minister to the Lord in our waiting. It's like we're worshiping, we're praising Him, we're spending that kind of like you think of that intimate time. So that's kind of what I see when you're waiting. It's like you're really listening, plugging into Him instead of thinking of what's next.
Mm. Yeah. I totally love that. I just think that's so great. And whether it's waiting because maybe you're in the season where your kids are going to school and you're just sitting at home and you think, well, I guess I need to get a job now because I'm just sitting at home all day while the kids are at school. I totally disagree. you know, what is the flavor of the gifts the Lord has given you? So is it baking? Great. Find out who needs meals, that you could maybe make a meal because someone just had surgery. If you can't find anybody to bake for, you can. I'll give you my address. but maybe it isn't because your kids are in school. Maybe it's just a season of, wow, I mean, I have so much open time. But what is the gifting that the Lord has made natural to you? If you love kids, maybe you're going to become a coach. Maybe you're going to help with Sunday school. Do you love animals? Maybe you're going to volunteer in an animal shelter. That's really fun, by the way. Whatever the gifting is that the Lord has given you, He will open that up so that you can serve Him and maybe bring Jesus to other areas of life that you wouldn't have been able to. And that's just in your time of waiting to see, Lord, what's the next chapter?
I love what Kim's saying there too, because sometimes when we hear the sitting at Jesus' feet part and we think it's like we're not moving and we're not doing anything else. And I won't say that there won't maybe be a time that the Lord might say, you just park it right there. That could be. But sometimes there's a lot of activity to it of doing that next thing and not like, you know, going, I need to make sure it's the absolute perfect ministry and I'm not going to do anything until I know exactly that everything is set right. It might be different than that.
Right. And however, when I say all that, it does not minimize spending time like you're saying. Mm-hmm. In the morning, you get up, just give yourself 1 hour, you know, and truly seek the Lord. Maybe it's going to end up being the whole day. Maybe it's going to be 5 days. Maybe it's going to be 2 days every week in that season of waiting. But don't neglect spending time just with the Lord to see how he's leading you. Don't get so busy that that you're just like, oh, this is season of waiting. Well, it's, you're also not listening to the Lord and how he might be leading you. So it's a balance.
And you'll hear, you hear different things because the Lord's gifted every one of you differently, you know? And so the things that he might ask you to do, if he's, if you're struggling to be that person that just wants to be busy, 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 you just might be the person that he's like, you're not going to do anything. I'm not going to bring a single opportunity your way until you kind of figure out that you just need to park it for a sec. And that's a terrible term. That's what I tell my dog when she's supposed to go to her bed. Lucy, go park it. No, so, but maybe that's because how I think of myself a little bit too, you know? It's probably when I'm in something that I'm not supposed to be in, I need to go back over there. And sometimes that's us, because we do have a tendency to get so busy that those things can take over maybe what the Lord's trying to show us as well. So that's really good. I wanted to maybe, we'll pull this scripture up here because I can't remember which one of you brought this up, but Psalm 37 is such a great, it's just such a great waiting psalm. And I feel like I've talked about this one a ton, even on the podcast, because we don't use the word fret not very much, but we totally need to bring that back. If you want to just write that one down and look it up, but it says it several times in that, and it says, fret not yourself because of this. And then it'll say, commit yourself to the Lord. It says, be still before the Lord. But there's all of these, you know, it's a fun psalm to go and circle all the verbs. What is it, what's it saying action wise to do? And the thing is, sometimes the action is be still, is refrain. So it's a really cool psalm to pray through in a season of waiting, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Okay, a gal asked a question on digging a little deeper. What are some good reading plans with resources to get the truth of God's word without the Americanized progressive thought being pushed? So we have a slide of just a couple things on this. And we usually get a question like this just about every panel, and I think it's worth revisiting each time, but I wanted to have some of you guys maybe address this from just a very new Christian side. This one maybe asking it from the side of, like, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. We usually recommend the old dead guys. We just really like the old dead guys and the old dead gals. You know, we like Corey Ten Boom and we like Elizabeth Elliot and some of these. And, you know, there's safety in that. They can't change their mind and get progressive and weird. So that's good. But I also want to just encourage us to not overthink this one too much, because you really don't need anything beyond your Bible. I love these ones we've put up here just because they're free and everybody has access to it. You don't need a seminary degree. You anybody can access a dictionary and honestly, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, you open your Bible and you pray in Psalm it says, open my eyes to the wondrous works of your law, right? Just ask for it, you know? So that's your greatest digging deeper resource.
So one thing, I know I'm kind of a type A person. I like to check the boxes. So like, you know, me personally this last year, I did the Navigator's reading plan. And what I liked is you can go and you can do the Bible in a year. You can do the Bible in 2 years. And so one thing that the Lord has really convicted me of is I tend to be like, okay, I've got to read 2 chapters, read it. But that's not what he wants. He wants, because the word is his love letter to us. And so this year I've really felt like the Lord has kind of slowed me down and said, okay, Rita, as I'm reading, it's like he's speaking to me. And so that's what's really important, is as you're reading, whatever plan, and also not to get so hung up on that plan, because I've done that. And just let the word speak to you. And Judy Slaughter always says, like, if you have to stop and like, wow, like, Lord, and just like pray that back to the Lord and like take time to let him speak to you, because he is speaking to you as you read the word. And not, like I said, not get so hung up at reading how much, but it's more quality versus quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something too. I like to check boxes as well. I'm a big box checker. And we get these reading plans, and sometimes it would feel like I needed to stop and I'd get behind. And I'm decided to go through a book chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And there's some weeks where I go through one chapter and I have to keep rereading it. And I think that that's a good thing. Having a plan is a great thing, but all you really need is your Bible and a notebook. Write down your questions and use the Bible to, it's the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And it's been such a blessing because I think when we look at the book or at our Bible, this is meant to be studied. And I think that sometimes we just kind of we do a cursory gloss over things, and we need to stop and meditate. I mean, in Psalm 1, it says meditate day and night. So slowing down, we live in a crazy, hurried culture, slowing down and being in the Word, and sometimes that means you're parking it in a chapter for a week or two, and you're meditating, chewing on it, studying it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just want to encourage y'all, too, that especially people maybe who are relatively new to studying the Bible, because you know, even I get frustrated sometimes, like I'll tell John, I'm like, Lord, why is this so hard to understand? Because there's certain things that you're just like, I don't get it. And he says, you know, Sharon, he says, you have to be patient because he says, look at chemistry or physics or anything. There's nothing that comes easy to us. And this is God's revelation to us, as is the other, you know, things that God's created. And so how should this be any easier than those subjects? Mm-hmm. So be patient with yourself and put in the time because If we do believe this is the truth, right? This is the truth. We want to spend time in it and take the time to study it. And so often I find that, at least I'm guilty of this, because when I was an early believer, I would read all about other people said about the Bible. And, you know, I have a stack of books this high, and I was like, the Bible was over here in the other nightstand. And I eventually threw them all away because I thought I got to be more in here. And that's when you really start growing, is when you're actually in the Word. So I echo everything everybody mm-hmm. said.
Yeah. And a lot of that stuff can get very distracting, too. So lots of squirrels everywhere. You can get very off on that. This one, I'm just going to answer this real quickly because I knew it would be taking too long. But it was the, how do I listen to the Lord? And I'm just going to refer everyone to a podcast that we did with Judy Slaughter a couple years ago. So if you, who knows how to listen to a podcast, raise your hand. Okay, there's probably a neighbor sitting next to you that's like, I have no idea what she's talking about. It's actually a thing. And you don't have to be, you know, a crazy podcast listener and listen to all of it. But sometimes when we reference it, it is worthwhile to go and listen just, you know, while you're driving somewhere, while you're folding laundry, going on a walk. The podcast with Judy, I've got to do a couple of them. And this one particular one on listening to the Lord, I'm telling you, it's like you're just going to, you're going to sit down with us, and it's just so sweet. And one of my favorite things about Judy, I'll talk too long, but when she says listening to the Lord, it kind of goes with what we were talking about with prayer too. She talks to the Lord all day long, all day long. It's not like, okay, I prayed real quick in the morning before I got up, bless my day, and I'm done. There's this running conversation with the Lord, and then it's just such a sweet thing. So go check that one out because we get into a bunch of scripture on that one too. I'll share one, Sharon, too, that you had talked about on this on 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3. Do you want to talk about that for just a second? She's like, what did I say? Well, 2 Peter 2, 1 and 3, let's just read that. It says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. And it's you know, it's that totality of he has spoken to us about all things that pertain to godliness. He didn't leave something out. So his word is there for that. But further context, go check out that podcast. Okay, let's move into parenting. This is some fun stuff. Fun stuff. Okay, first to Rita, because this one was because she's our, Kim, you said you have grandkids.
I do.
Yeah, see? Okay, how can I grandparent with grace? Are the other grandparents better? Am I valued? You want to take that one?
Yeah. I can relate with this, you know, but as I read this question, I kind of sat with it, and the first thing that came to me is, as a grandparent, my first and foremost thing to focus on is my confidence in who I am with the Lord. Where's my walk? I have to, and then I have to think, am I trying to please them or am I trying to please the Lord? So that's number one. It made me think of Galatians 1:10. Am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? And so as a grandma, I want to reflect the Lord. And so that's number one. You have to check your relationship with the Lord. But also as a grandparent, we need to remember that I'm not the mom. And it's really, really important to respect their family board boundaries and not get too involved and only offer advice if asked, which is hard.
She's gonna write that one on a pillow for me.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to agree to disagree. So I think that's really, really important, is just being respectful, being available to your kids as needed. And, you know, it's easy because I've done it, like, well, but she likes her better or whatever. And so I think it's also capitalizing on your gifts. What's your gift? Mm-hmm. If you can, like, you know, bake or cook or whatever, or and be available if they need you to help within reason, you know, but not hover too much. The other thing, speak the truth in love.
She's like, I'll just leave it there. do it both ways. Yeah, I think that's really good. This one is with parenting your own kids, and thoughts on the idea that spanking promotes violent children. Jana?
Everyone looked at me.
Why did we look at you, though? Like, let's give them some background. Like,
yeah, so I'm an early childhood special education teacher. I work with kids, young children, and I've done that since 2001. So I've done it for a really long time, and I'm also a mom. So I think this is something that I think, let me just start with a scripture. So 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So if we make that our foundation, we know that this book is it has everything we need to do what we're called to do. We can say with confidence, spanking does not promote violence. So because scripture is the authority on raising children, and spanking is a biblical component of discipline, we can say with confidence that it is a good thing and it is a part of raising up your children. Now, this is very countercultural. The culture does not like spanking. The culture wants to define it, much as some of the other things you said, like submission. The culture wants to define it by its abuse. And so we don't do that. We define it by what God says it is. So Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it has so much to say about discipline. And I went and looked up all the, you know, the verses about discipline. And wouldn't you know it? There's something about the rod of correction in almost every one of them. So we, as a group, we kind of came up with, you know, Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. And Proverbs 23 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from hell. So there's a lot in there, but as far as looking to the culture to tell you what you should do is probably not a good idea. Go to the word first. Now, Pastor Brett did an entire sermon on spanking. It was in Proverbs, when we were in Proverbs 22. And so I would commend that to you. I would say go back and listen to it. It has a ton of wisdom, and just in the practicality sense of that. But I just want to encourage you that as you're raising your children, we are countercultural. Christians are countercultural. And this is a component the world will tell you should not be part of it. But honestly, like any other of Satan's devices, it's a trap, because for a young child, it's really an unkindness to try to reason them into good behavior instead of, because often the best way and the best form of correction is a physical reminder that's going to deter them from repeating the same sinful behavior. Mm-hmm. So God had a lot of, has wisdom for us if we use it.
Yeah. And right now, and I'm, you know, there's always the parenting fads. I think the one that's kind of stuck around, at least for the last couple of years, is the whole gentle parenting thing. And I put that in quotes because gentle parenting is not gentle. Mm-hmm. It might be a worldly definition of gentleness, but it is not a biblical definition of gentleness because it's not the truth in love. So it's not a biblical concept. But the word gentle, that's a biblical word, right? You know, we're to be gentle and quiet spirit. So we, you know, can even encompass some of these things and go, well, that's then how I should parent. That's biblical. But that's clearly contradicting what is happening. And that will lead to a very, very sad place in your parenting.
We live in a world that calls good things evil and evil mm-hmm. things good all the time. So I'm not surprised that they've absconded words and things that are very good and kind of tacked them onto bad things. One of the things that just to add to that is that we know from Scripture that we're not basically good. And I would say much of the worldly parenting wisdom you're going to read is going to come from the viewpoint that people are basically good. And you just need to be aware of that. You need to be wise to it and know that that's not a correct viewpoint. And so we're going to parent from a different place. We're going to know that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the God. We all fallen short of the glory of God. And so we all need a redeemer. Mm-hmm. We all need discipline. We all need correction. We talked about in Hebrews, it says, who the Lord loves, he chastens. And so as parents, the most loving thing we can do is chasten our children. Mm-hmm. We can steer them in the correct way they should go. Mm-hmm.
So one thing I wanted to add to that is the last mom time that Debbie did. There's several on there where she talked with Marna, which are amazing. So if you have any questions about that, I would highly recommend that you go back and listen because it's important to do it right. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with the whole, what the question said, you know, producing violent children. Because people do it wrong. Mm-hmm. But one scripture that I would like to share just really quick, it's Proverbs 29:19. It says, by mere words, a servant is not disciplined, for though he understands, he will not respond. And that goes right along with that gentle parenting. This is why the word says that how we're supposed to discipline, because words, I mean, maybe they'll work, but most of the time they don't. So it's important to do things according to Scripture.
And I also want to encourage you, this isn't coming from a place of like, well, you all up here must have just had the easiest children ever, and you never really had to spank your children, and you know, all of those kinds of things. And nope. It's just not, and I'm not uncovering because he is very aware of that he's been used as the testimony to encourage many moms, but My oldest child was such a strong-willed child. And I would come to Chris and I would go, are you sure we're doing this right? Are you sure this is what the word says? And he had that same, like he was struggling too. And we even met with pastors here on staff and were encouraged of like, this is what the word says. And I'm just here to tell you that, and you don't need me to tell you, the word just works. I mean, the Lord, I remember a pastor saying to me one time and that he said, you know, I haven't found a timeout chair in Proverbs yet. And I went. And that isn't to say, you know, what is discipline and what chastens them may be different. But I can't negate the fact that it is very clear that a rod is used, something that actually has physical contact. You know, in our culture, that's horrifying. What? Let God be true and every man a liar. And I am so blessed of, you know, really my husband leading us and going, nope, we're sticking to what this says here, to see the faithfulness down the road of, you know, when people look at my oldest now, they're like, you were never strong-willed. Your parents are making that up. And it's just because the Lord's true. And if we're obedient to that, he is faithful. But I'm not going to tell you it's a piece of cake. And I'm not going to say that, you know, I just didn't struggle with this. And nope, No, it's hard. It is hard, but the Lord is good. Yes. So stick it out. Yes. A friendship question. A mom friend, Kim, I'm going to go to you on this because I loved your answer on this, but a mom friend that only uses you for vacations. She doesn't talk to you for months, and then only when she needs something. Any suggestions on what to do?
It's life. Everybody deals with life differently. And I think some people are just completely, totally, did I say completely? Totally full in their day-to-day lives. They're overwhelmed. They hardly sleep at night. They just, every day is completely full. And maybe you should be the one, if your schedule is a little lighter, to just shoot them the text saying, how's it going? I'm just checking in. You be the positive to just touch base, even if it's just a minor check or text. And you be that one. And then also recognize that that might be a gift, that God has you to be the one that they know they can go to for relief, for just, I don't have to explain how hard my day-to-day life is. You can just be my place of rest and encouragement in my faith. So I think take it as a compliment. So
I love that. Anybody else?
I love that because when I read that, I didn't think that, but I love that. But see, that's how we're so different. But I really love that because
when you shared that, I was so challenged. I thought, that was not what that's not where my mind went.
Same.
I thought it was such a gracious and grace-filled answer. And I put Kim had a beautiful answer. Yeah.
Because I think honestly, and I understand sometimes the first thing is like, you probably need to have some good boundaries with that person. Yeah, and you probably need, and I'm not going to say that's never the thing, but I kind of liked Kim's answer first of like, is there a way that I could be serving this person? Is there a way that I can be the one that's being a blessing to them instead of looking for, am I being appreciated? And I'm not saying that's what she's saying, but we can sometimes go, well, do they have any idea what I'm going through over here? You know? And yes, you got to keep the context of your own family situation in mind. But I just liked that extra perspective of going, man, maybe I could be a blessing.
I mean, you really may be their resource, their, mm-hmm.
You're their safe place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we all would love to have that. And Jesus is the best safe place, but we can encourage each other in our faith and you get to be the encourager in that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. That's really good. A couple general questions. I wanted to make sure that we got to this one because we are winding down. So people are like, okay, I do have things to do in my day. How to keep up with a season of busyness. Maybe this kind of tag teams very well into what we were just talking about. How to keep up with a season of busyness without burnout. How do I discern if I'm even supposed to be doing the things that make me busy? I don't know. You can't let me talk because I was so convicted about this when I podcast for 40 minutes on it yesterday. So
I think one of the things you've encouraged is to pray over your calendar, pray over the things that you have in front of you and ask for discernment. Is this what I should be spending my time doing? One of the things we think of business is, and business, I think in general, is a negative. We don't want to be busy, busy, busy. But we also don't want to be idle. So I think it's a good balance. But Corrie ten Boom had a quote where she said, if the devil can't make you sin, he will make you busy. And so I think that's just something to kind of, as we take stock of the things that God has called us to do, to make sure that they're not just, that they're things with a purpose and that they're actually the things that we are supposed to be doing. God has given us a list of things we are called to do. And if your calendar doesn't incorporate any of that, then you probably need to cut back and just ask for some wisdom in what to say no to, what to say yes to. But I also thought too, there's been seasons in my life where I had so many things to do and I had to do all of those things. And so if you're in that season where maybe you're taking care of babies, or maybe you're taking care of a sick parent, or there's something where you can't let go of things, I think this is too, that God is our source and our strength. And so you can ask him too, like, Lord, give me the strength I need for today. give me enough time to get the things I need to do done. There was times when I knew I didn't have enough time and I wasn't going to get enough sleep. And my husband would literally pray over me, like, Lord, multiply Jana's sleep. Mm-hmm. So there are seasons. I think that's just one thing to keep in mind, too, that there you will be called in our lives. There will be seasons when you have to do a lot of things and there's nothing you can cut. And just know that the Lord can be the sustainer for you in that, that he is so faithful. And if he's called you to do it, Pastor Brett always says, his commandments are his enablements. And he will help you do that in that season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't want to echo that because I love that, the prayer that's beautiful. But I want to say that we had a lot of working moms in our devoted group, and they were all very busy. And I just want to encourage you too that when you do get that way, the prayer is huge because I would literally pray like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get all this done. He would always drop something off my plate. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, so he does provide for you where you just, you just don't know how you're going to get all done. But the other thing I was going to say is be intentional about your yes or no, whether to volunteer, coach, even your kids' activities. Like, do they really need to play that sport that's going to be, 5 days a week practice? I love how Judy has, certain occasions she has draws circles around, like, what's your priorities? The Lord, of course, is your first priority. And then, of course, your husband, your kids. And so how are all these other activities going to, they're, optional, going to affect those things? And so be intentional and pray. And I love Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Mm-hmm. And so I love the prayer factor that we need to go before him. And the other one that I love, because it takes a lot of pressure off of me, is Ephesians 2:10, which is, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he prepared it all beforehand. So if we go to him in prayer, guess what? He's going to direct our path. So mm-hmm. I love that.
I just think that's great. And quoting my mom, that takes half the words out of what I should say. But the thing is when we put those things in priority and recognizing that some personalities like me, I can get busy doing the most random things for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. But if it's the Lord, then it's not taking away my time in the morning reading the word. It's not keeping me from being able to go to church. It's not keeping me from the things God has already assigned, whether it's taking care of my husband or, those things. So that's the checklist. If you're so busy that I just can't go to church, you guys are at Athey, there's how many services? If you can't find a service to go to, yes, you're too busy. I come up here once a month just to go to church in person, and it's awesome. So God would tell you those are the priorities. Time with him, time in fellowship with each other, And if it's taking you away from that, that's an easy answer. Mm-hmm. You're too busy. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just something. And if you're struggling with that, in 2 weeks, there's going to be a podcast that's going to talk about that. I just recorded it yesterday because I was convicted. I tell you guys, pray through your schedule. And I felt like the Lord was tapping me on the shoulder going, are you praying through yours? So it's for all of us. It really is. And I think sometimes the Lord resets our dials a little bit. I wanted to make sure we got to this question on how to best love and discern advice from parents that are not walking with the Lord. Yeah, that's a good question.
I just think the Lord is the one who chose our parents. We didn't choose our parents.
Imagine that.
I know. just because they're not believers yet doesn't mean that they may not be wise, intelligent, and a source that the Lord would still use in your life. However, seek confirmation. Mm-hmm. So, maybe one of your parents is brilliant and their business, have huge business and you want to start a business and you're getting information from them. Doesn't mean just take their answer because they're smart. Now pray it through. And have the Lord confirm it to you. So you not only have your parents' wisdom from their business experience, but you also have this scripture
that is confirmation to what the Lord has you doing, so that a year from now, if the business is really struggling, you don't have to think, did I do this wrong? No, you can go to that scripture and use the scripture to say, 100%, this is what God told me, confirm that I should be doing this, and you can rest knowing this was the place to move because this is the scripture of confirmation. Mm-hmm.
And remember, too, scripture does tell us, I mean, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. And it says that we are, there's even a promise of that, that your days may go well with you and all of that. But I'm not sure, if this person is an adult, you're not called to obedience to your parents as an adult, but you are called to honor. And I think I don't even know that I could give anyone who wants to chime in on that a blanket answer of what that looks like. But pray about what it would look like to be honoring to your parent, even if they're not walking with the Lord, or maybe they're just in a season of either rebellion, or how can you still honor them? Because that's even going to keep relationship there for the yet that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, one more that we'll do, and we'll wrap up here. But I thought this would be a good one to end on, because it's funny how we have talked about church and the importance of, yeah, we should be together. And this question comes up a bit, and this was a late ad. And sometimes when those questions come in last minute, I'm like, ooh, Lord, maybe that was for today. But this gal asked, any advice on how to encourage Christian family members to come back to church who have fallen out of church fellowship since COVID? They're still processing believers, but each for various reasons have not come back to church. And this is funny. When we were talking about this upstairs, I thought it seemed like every one of us have an example of someone we can think of that, yeah, they have not come back to church. How do we encourage them?
I think first and foremost, just start praying. Praying mm-hmm. that the Lord will give you wisdom in what you say to them and how to encourage them. And then I would just say, I mean, you can use scripture, pray that scripture. You know, we know we're not supposed to neglect the fellowship. And for so many people, it was kind of that, when I go back to that habit and that routine, they got out of the habit and routine of going to church. And so then it's hard to break mm-hmm. that or re-engage that habit again. So I would just say prayerfully bring them before the Lord and say, Lord, how can I encourage them? And then, you know, always be ready, always be there. I'll meet you. I'll save you a seat. Making it easy for them to say yes. Mm. I think that's, whether it was for like health reasons or things, I think people, a lot of fear was surrounding that time. And so some of that hasn't dissipated. Mm. And so just being really mindful and prayerful and being, you know, ready and open to make that yes easy. I think
sometimes we underestimate the power of prayer. Because, you know, what's your reaction on it? Well, just pray. Okay, I can't do anything, you know. But, I mean, think about it. I mean, we're right again, Acts right now, and we're going to, the prayer where we just studied it, the prayer of the disciples after they were threatened. And, you know, look at the boldness they got. And so I think we have to recognize that prayer is so powerful, and praying scripturally too. And so it is like the most important thing you can do for your friends and family, because other than that, you know, you don't want to be a nag about coming to church or sound all self-righteous about it. So it's just a hard balance. But I agree that prayer is the number one thing.
I think that it's habits. Mm. You know, habits are, people got into the habit of just being at home. So it's really easy and it's convenient. And so I totally agree with everybody here. But I love that you keep saying Acts, because I love what it says there, that when you daily ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, and what is that for? And it's so that you get the power to be my witnesses. And I love that, because as we ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us daily, then we pray, and our prayers, it's not us, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit going out through us. And that's why our prayers are so effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, The other thing that I think sometimes is in here too, yes, there's family members. I think you can also be that example. And maybe you're like, oh no, I'm going. But sometimes we can fall into that, well, it would just be easier to do this. And I've thought about that a lot with the just the online, that is so great that we have that. I think especially for us as gals, because, you know, if it's a women's Bible study, that you can watch online. Well, watch it online if you've got sick kids and you need to stay home. And remember those circles. What's the priorities there? That needs to be part of that. But when it comes to your main church services and being fed in the word and things like that, the thing that I've kind of been challenged about is asking yourself, why do we go to church? Because we're in such a consumer type culture that says, I am coming so that I can be blessed, so that I can be encouraged, so that I can, there's a lot of I. And I have just been thinking about, you think about the cathedrals they used to build. Like those were like beautiful, beautiful stained glass and all of these things that went into it because the building itself was an act of worship because it was for God. It wasn't for them. It was for God. When we come and we're together, we're here to bring joy, to bring pleasure to Him. We don't come for us. We kind of have that mixed up a little bit, and that's a tangent more. That's maybe more for us that are actually coming. Just kind of keeping in mind why we come, but it helps us to encourage that it's just not all about making sure our needs are always met. We're here to worship God, and we're here to do that. So, but I love the note you ended us on with that it's prayer. You know, Oswald Chambers says that prayer is the work, and I love that quote because we can think, I'll do all my work, and then if I have time, I'll pray about it. We probably should reverse that because the prayer part, that is work. So with that, why don't we stand and why don't we close in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you that, first of all, that we have your word that is so clear, that it is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. And I pray for any scriptures that we may have read today or ones that your Holy Spirit might be bringing to remembrance to ladies today, that we would take time to be in your word and let your word do its work in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray just as we finish this off about just the idea of prayer. Lord, I pray that the gals, we would be challenged to not be worried about what words we're using, but we would be more focused on the person we're talking to, Lord. And Lord, you're so gracious. You cover, you're not grading us. And prayer is truly, truly powerful, not because of the words we're speaking, but powerful because of who you are and that you've given it to us as a way for us to talk to the creator of all things. So Lord, I pray that we wouldn't take that for granted. And I pray that we would be women of prayer, that we would pray for our families, for the people we work with. We would pray for our country, our church leaders, Lord, that we would just be women that recognize that you are the one that does it all, Lord. Use us as you would, Lord, to bring your people in remembrance and bring your people before for you, Lord. Help us to order our steps and help us to know what things should stay on the schedule. Give us wisdom when it comes to how we parent and also just give us strength in seasons of waiting, Lord. I just pray that you would be very specific with the gals who hear this today and the things that you would be speaking with them. Would they then be women of action and obedience to what you would ask them to do? So Lord, we thank you for this time. We just pray your blessing over these ladies. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.